This is Sunday, March the 20th, 2022. And this is lesson number 5. It's entitled, Where Godliness Comes From. We're in the book of Titus, chapter number 2. And while you're turning there, let me remind you about going to our Sunday school webpage to sign up if you're interested in going. To sign up to take Sight and Sound with us to see the new presentation of David, okay? Our trip is scheduled for July the 2nd. And some have asked, why in the world are we having to buy tickets now to go on July 2nd? Well, their auditorium seats about 2,200. As of the time I started telling you about this, which is almost a month now, they were down to 947 seats available for July. And when I talked to the lady about it, she said, if you don't get your order in by the end of April, you may not be able to get in there. So that's why we're trying to get everything done. So I've held the ticket order situation up on our Sunday school webpage up until April the 29th. The next day, I have to place the order for the tickets and pay for them to be able to get our seats together. So please, go online if you're interested in going. Go online. You can register there to attend. Plus, go ahead and purchase the tickets. You can do it through our Sunday school webpage. It goes right into our Sunday school fund thing so we can be able to pay for the tickets, okay? So you can do that right on our Sunday school page, all right? It's mentioned on there, so please make sure that you do that, all right? All right. All the advertisements are out now, right? All right. Good to see everybody today for their birthdays. I want you to look at Titus chapter 2 today. We've been going through these Sunday school lessons. And the lessons are entitled, From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. From being forgiven by God for our sins to becoming a mature child of God and being faithful unto the Lord. When, when we look at these lessons, we are looking at how that God used a lot of people to encourage those early church Christians that we read about in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, Silas, Peter, John, James, a lot of these men of God, they were winning folks to Christ everywhere. But they did not just leave them to just do anything or fall away and not grow in the Lord. They wanted them to continue growing. It's like having children. You birth them into the world. And then you just leave them at the hospital and they die. That's not what we do. You know, long before we had our children, we started preparing a place for them, okay? I remember we had a little single-wide trailer where we got married. We're living in that little trailer and it had 3 bedrooms in it. One of the bedrooms I had as a guest room and the other one I had as a study, a little place I could go in and study and pray and things like that. And I ended up having to give up that little study to make it into a nursery. And I remember my wife and I, we were fixing up stuff in it, and we didn't know what we were going to have. Didn't really want to know what we were going to have. We prayed and asked God to give us a little girl the first time, and God gave us a little girl. And we prayed and asked God to give us a little boy the second time, and God gave us a little boy. And, you know, I often tell him, you know, if we'd had you first, we'd not had your sister. But, you know, it was one of those things that God just blessed. And but we prepared a place. Man, we fixed that little room up, fixed it up, you know, painted it up, and had little baby stuff all in there and had all things. We prepared a place, and we longed for the day that we could be able to not only bring those babies into the world, but then be able to bring them back home to be with us. And you know what? That is the perfect picture of what God has done for you and for me today. Jesus said before he went to the cross, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that is what the Lord is looking forward to today. He is looking forward to you and I being there with Him as a family together. And you know what? Paul is trying to write to Titus, the pastor of the church there in Crete, and he is trying to encourage them to learn and be faithful to live for God. Let the world see the difference in your life as you're living here. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a great time anyway. But living here is what we need to be doing. We need to live here for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, my wife, she's trying to fix this little business so that she can be able to one day do this stuff from home and be able to help me with some things instead of working in the law firm. And she was there yesterday, and we had designed some little coasters that you put on a table or something to put your sodas or your coffee or whatever on. And we put Bible verses on those coasters. And we put things about the Lord, okay, on those things. And people would come by and look at those coasters. They said, "Wow, is that a Bible verse?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, it's a Bible verse. It's a real Bible verse. Yeah, it's right from the Word of God, too. Yeah, it's not changed around or anything." And you know what? Folks are hungry today for something that is real. They want to see something real. And folks, that's what God wants you and me today to be in this world. We are saved. We have been born into the family of God to be lights in a dark world. Lights in a dark world. Whenever I take Precious outside at night to go to the restroom, that's my dog. It's not my wife. That's my dog, okay? My wife is Precious, but that's not the one I take out every night like that, okay? But when I take her out at night, we don't have any street lights where we are. Nothing. I mean, it's dark. I love it because I can go out and look at the stars and see the hand of God and in the firmament of the heavens. But I take a little flashlight with me because I don't want to step somewhere she's been, okay? And I take that little flash. And you know what? That one little flashlight makes all the difference in the dark. And you know what? You may be sitting here today thinking, "Man, I'm just one person. What in the world could I ever do for the cause of God in this old dark world of sin?" Let me tell you what you could do. You could be a light. You can be a light. Our lesson today is entitled, "Where Godliness Comes From." Let me ask you today, do you know where godliness comes from? It's not from being in a certain denomination church, okay? Listen, church is good if you're going to the right one, okay? Church is good if it is there to help you now that you've been saved or to draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you see your need of a Savior and you are born again. But listen to me today. Godliness does not come from being a Baptist or a Moravian or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whatever else you may be. That is not where godliness comes from. Godliness comes from God. It comes from His Word. It teaches us how God wants us to live. And that is why, as Pastor has said so many times, get in the book. Get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in you. It will help you to grow for the Lord. Webster defines godliness as this. The dictionary said, a reverence for God, a reverence for His character, and a reverence for His laws. And then it said this, out of the Webster's dictionary, it said, Christian obedience. Now, can you imagine that in a Webster's dictionary? Christian obedience. Christian obedience. That means to be Christ-like obedience. You and I, we shine for the Lord as we obey Him in what we do. When I go out the other night, it was a full moon. And you could walk outside. I didn't need a flashlight. It was so bright outside. It was eerie almost. It was just beautiful outside. And especially when the snow was on the ground, we still had snow in the back where the sun doesn't hit down near the woods. And it was just like it lit up the woods. And I would walk out there with Precious, and we would walk around out there. And I look up at the moon that was shining, and I'm thinking, you know, that is amazing. There is no flashlight in the moon. Okay? There's no source of light inside the moon. Nothing. You know what that moon is doing? It is reflecting an unseen light. The sun was on the other side of the earth where we couldn't see it. But the moon was reflecting, and the moon is just a ball of dirt. It's just a lump of dirt hanging in the nothingness of space. And yet, it was fully reflecting the light that the world where we live could not see. Man, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to live so that God can reflect off of us and others might see Him through us. Does that make sense to you? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be godly. We're supposed to be like what God wants us to be. So as we look at the lesson today, folks, godliness, I want you to understand, godliness, true godliness, comes from God alone. It's not in what we do. Man, it's what we allow God to do through us. Amen? Now, let's look at it this morning. In Titus chapter 2, is where our lesson is going to be. I want to share something with you today. When God saved us, God made us to be a new creature in Christ. Okay? A new creature. So when I look at you folks in here today, knowing that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm looking at a room full of creatures in Christ. Amen? You ever watch Andy Griffith? You ever see Ernest T. Bass? Oh, he got mad at that woman because she called him a creature. You know, and I thought, well, I am a creature, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, old things are passed away. The way we used to live for the old taskmaster, for Satan, those things are passed away now that we belong to Christ. I remember when my wife was expecting our children, and she was, when we got married, she was not allergic to nuts like she is today. I'm the only nut she can have that she's not allergic to. She's allergic to nuts or peanut butter, anything. And yesterday, one of the ladies across from us, she gave me a whole thing of fudge, and she gave me some with peanut butter in it. I shared some with Danny, and we could eat it, and she couldn't get any of it, which is fine. It's not a problem. But we enjoyed it. But you know what? Listen, when we look at things like this, when she was younger and she was expecting those babies, she ate Reese's peanut butter cups and Mountain Dews every morning. And all the caffeine, man, it riled those babies up. I mean, they were just active creatures, okay? And they would keep her up at night and all this other stuff. And you know what? Before they were born, they had a reputation for not wanting to sleep when she wanted to sleep. When she wanted to sleep, they wanted to be awake and kicking and stretching and carrying on and all that stuff. But after they were born, we put them on a schedule, okay? This is when you go to sleep, okay? This is when you need to be up. This is when we need to do this, do that. And you know what? When we were born into the family of God, we had our own way of doing things, did we not? But now that we live in Christ, we do the things that God wants us to do. Why? Well, the Bible said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've been made a new creature in Christ. Now, if you remember from the previous lessons, this is something that others who proclaimed to know Christ, yet they denied Him by their actions and deeds, they were not doing. They weren't doing that. And Titus, in chapter number 1, if you'll remember in verse 16, he said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Okay? Now, let me remind you something. Works does not save us. Works can never save us. Listen, if our good works, if our good deeds, if our church affiliation, if our religious denomination could save us and make us right with God, then there would have never been a reason for Jesus to suffer and bleed and die, be buried and rise again as God's plan had for Him. There would have been no need for that. God had just said, well, you just be a good person. You just be a good Moravian or Baptist or whatever you are. You just do what you're going to do and everything will be all right. That was not what it was. God said they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Well, it kind of reminds you of what we're seeing in our world today, does it not? Everything that is right, and we know from God's Word to be right, it seemed like, man, the world wants to say, well, that's wrong. That's old-fashioned now. That's not the new norm. And everything that was wicked and abominable and just wretched, we see now as being accepted into our world. And boy, the devil just wants to have his heyday and make everything seem good that's bad, and everything that's bad seem good. Listen, we do good not to be saved, but because we are saved, okay? Our children, we tried to teach them to be obedient to us, not before they were born, okay, because it wouldn't happen, but after they were born, after they became that part of our family, we taught them to do right. We taught them what wrong was. We taught them what right was, so that they could choose to do that which was right. And that's what God does with us through His Word. Now, He gives us some basic guidelines and things that show us where godliness comes from in His Word. And I want us to see that this morning. Here, turn over in the New Testament just a minute. We'll get to Titus in just a second, okay? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John wrote here and he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, that was 1 John. I want you to turn back in the New Testament to the book, the Gospel of John, St. John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And John, the Holy Spirit of God, had John write both of these, the Gospel and the Epistle here. And he said, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Go down in that same chapter to verse 14. And he said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In these passages, he's speaking about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, now as we look at Titus chapter 2, and we begin here in verse number 11, he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And he was reminding them that apart from God's great grace, apart from God's love for you and for me, His mercy and His grace extended to us, there was then, there is now, nor ever will be any other way or means of salvation that would satisfy God's requirement for the wages of sin, which we know is death. There is only one way that God provided for you and for me, for any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, to ever be found justified, forgiven of their sin, made right to be with God. There was only one way, and that was through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's great grace is that vehicle, okay? That vehicle which brings us unto salvation. And without God's grace and His mercy being extended to us, we would not have salvation today. You think about it, folks. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is all about. That's what it's all about. God extended His grace to us. Again, we're reminded there by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We all know these verses. But he said, therefore, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, which any man should boast, or lest any man should boast. And I want you to notice the last part of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He said, how that great grace hath appeared to all men. God left no particular race, no particular color, no particular class of individuals out of His realm of salvation. He left no one out of that realm. God's grace, God's gift of salvation has been extended to all men everywhere. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Amen? Man, had it not been for those men of God, those Jewish men that knew Christ to be who He was and who He is, the Son of the living God, the Word of God in flesh, dwelling among us, had they not written these words that the Spirit of God had them write to us and put it in this book and it be given to others and it passed on to others and it got to you and me. Gentile dogs, that's what we are. Gentile dogs. And yet, God counts us as His dear children. You know what? He's brought the two together as one. And listen, we've been brought together through the great grace of God. Listen, Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This verse comes to my mind. It said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise to usward. He's not slack in that fact, as some men count slackness, all right? But He said this. He said, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all is the same all that Paul wrote about, where he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, N-O-N-E, that means nobody, okay? Nobody. There is none righteous. There's none good enough to go to heaven on their own. No, not one. And were it not for the grace of God, where would we be today? He said there in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, he said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Aren't you glad for the day that you called upon the Lord? Amen? And He reached down and He saved you. Amen? He birthed you into His dear family. My wife and I were watching a little program last night on our Roku device called the Derrico family or something. Anyway, they've got 11 children. They've had three sets of multiple children, okay? She had twins. She had one single child, one by itself. And then they had twins. And then the next ones they had were triplets. The next set they had were five. That's quintuplets. They ended up with 11 because one child died at birth. And then she was expecting again, and she's expecting triplets. And I thought, my goodness gracious, can you imagine that? She was talking about their grocery bill each month being about $3,500 per month. I thought, Lord, that's more than we even make a month. Good grief. Listen, can you imagine? I can't imagine. But you know what? Listen to me. Those folks were talking about how that God had taken care of their needs. And how that God had supplied everything that they had had. And how they loved those little children to death. And you could see it. Man, those little kids loved their mom and their daddy. And they're just little ones. I mean, just little things. And God loved them. And you know what? I thought, man, God's family continues to grow because somebody goes out and tells somebody else. And God wants everybody to know. Listen, the Son of Man was come for one purpose and one reason. It wasn't to give us an Easter holiday. It wasn't to give us a spring break or a winter break or even Christmas. The Bible said, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And godliness comes through the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, 1 John chapter 3 tells us, 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 through 3 said this, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Listen, when the world gets you down, folks, and you look at all the news around you, and you see all the things that are going wrong, okay? Remember this, it's all in God's plan. Hey, this book tells us these things are going to happen. Men's hearts will become wicked. He talks about all these things before the Lord Jesus returns to take us out of here and sends his judgment upon this earth. These things are going to happen. And he said, don't be discouraged, because all of these things must come to pass. Folks, it ought to give us, we are living in the greatest time, I believe, on earth, because we may be living in the day that the Lord Jesus returns. We are seeing all these things come to pass. We're seeing these things just be unfolded right before us. And folks, that ought to encourage us. And this hope in him purifies us. It helps us to live godly for him, because we know that our living is not in vain. Amen? We're going to see him again. And boy, what a day that's going to be. The Bible talks about how that we've been made clean in him. Now look at this. I want you to understand, this is the basis for godliness. The Word of God is our basic foundation for godliness. Now I want you to notice some general behaviors, okay? General behaviors. Look at what he said here in Titus chapter 2, verse number 12. Paul writes, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we, born again children of God, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Here we see two basic principles for learning to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see two basic principles. And it's in your life as a born-again child of God. It's in my life as a born-again child of God. Look at it. Number one, these principles, these things which we as God's children should do now that we're saved, okay? Number one, it's denying ungodliness. Now, that doesn't mean that we say it does not exist. We know ungodliness exists. We see it all around us today. We see it everywhere we go. But he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we're not to accept it in our lives. That's what we're to do. We're to deny it and say, no, no. You remember Job in the Bible? He was a man that feared God. He reverenced God, and he eschewed evil. He put it aside. He got rid of it, okay? And he said, I don't want to have any of that in my life. Listen, I'm thankful. So many times I'm so thankful that where we live, there is no cable TV. I mean, you got to pay a fortune for it, number one, if you had it, if you're able to get it. Number two, the stuff that you have on there, you have no control of what's on that TV. You have no control of it. We have no control of what goes on in our world today, it seems. But you know what? We can still deny the ungodliness and say, I can't do that. I can't take part in that. I can't go out here and drink and cuss and live ungodly and things like that. Why? Because we've been taught from the Word of God, Our life is to reverence the Lord. We're to reverence Him. We're to honor Him. We're to show reverence for His very character of love and mercy and grace, for His laws, and we are to obey Him. The picture here is like with our children. Our children go spend the night somewhere, okay? And if they go and spend the night somewhere, we tell them, you better obey, okay? Don't come back and let us hear that you've been doing something wrong. You obey us. You do what you know is right to do. That's what God is saying. While you're here on this earth, live for me, He said. Deny the ungodliness. And then look at this, number two. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. We should live righteously and godly in this present world. In other words, we don't just deny ungodliness, but we live not for ourselves, but for the Lord. We live for Him. We're not living for ourselves. Listen, if I lived for self, I'd have eaten everything of chocolate that woman behind us had on that table yesterday. Man, I'd have done this and done that. I'd live for self. I'd live it up and probably die early. That's exactly what would happen. And you know what? We're not to do that. We are to live this life that God has given to us through this body, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us. We're to live it for Him. We're to glorify Him. Listen, nobody thinks much about the moon hanging up in space until they look at it and they say, wow, look at how bright and beautiful that thing is tonight. You know what? It may not seem like it's got a purpose, but if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, God created two great lights, one to rule the day and one to what? Rule the night. It has a purpose. And folks, your life, God has not created you in vain, nor has He saved you for naught in vain. He's got a purpose for your life. You say, but preacher, I am going through a tough time right now. Listen, everybody's going through tough times right now. Many of you have lost a spouse here lately. And you know what? That has got to be one of the worst things that I could ever imagine in this life. To lose the one that you love for so long. You love that one. And now they're no longer with you. And you know what? That grieves your heart. It brings such sorrow to your heart. But you know what? Listen, you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he said, I will see you through. I'll be with you all the way. And listen, folks, we need to live that life for Christ. Live your life for the Lord. Give it unto Him. Listen, he gives us specific behaviors here. Look what he said. He writes here to Titus in these verses, instructing him to put the people that you're teaching in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Listen, if the children of God are not willing to do these things openly and boldly in the name of the Lord, how is the world ever going to know or see truth? They've got to see something real in your life and in mine. Folks, separation from the world and the wicked things of the world, listen to me, it is a willing choice. You have to choose to separate yourself from those things. Now, I'm not saying you got to be some hobo that lives out in the woods and doesn't want to associate with anybody. That's not what I'm saying. We live in this world, but we're not of the world. I've given you this illustration before. But when they create ships in the shipyard, they create those ships for one purpose, and that is to sail through the mighty raging seas. It's not a problem for that ship to be in the sea. That's what it's been made for. The problem is when the sea gets inside the ship, and pretty soon the ship goes down. Okay? You and I have been created to live and to be in this world, But we're not to be part of this world so that it comes in and destroys our testimony for Christ and causes us not to be what we ought to be for God. Living for God is a willing choice. Living godly is a loving choice. It's a necessary choice, but it's a life-changing choice. Amen? And when we live for God, God makes the difference in us. Now look at this. He said we're to obey. We're to be subject to what? To principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. You and I, as born-again children of God, we're to be subject and we're to be obedient to lawful authority. We're to be obedient to the laws that are around us. Let me remind you of something. Every, and I say that in capital letters, bold letters, and underline them, every law that our country was established upon came from this book. What they're trying to do today is to go outside of that. They're trying to deny this book and say, we don't need those old laws. We've got a new way of living today. Listen, if this crowd that says it's all right for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman, listen, if God had created two men in the Garden of Eden, you and I wouldn't be here today. Amen? Listen, it's just that simple. Folks, God has a plan. And God says, here's my rule book. Follow the rules and you won't have a problem. Do we experience resistance? Oh, yeah. Because the devil is there. Somebody said one day, well, you're just rubbing the cat the wrong way. And I said, well, turn the cat around. Amen? Turn the cat around. Listen, do what God said do. Do what God said do. We're to be subject to the principles of our laws. We're to be obedient. As long as we're not being told by the government to do something that is, number one, contrary to the Word of God, it's not illegal or it's not immoral, we ought to obey the law, what the law says do. Listen, that's why we feel bad when we go down the road, it says 30 and we're doing 40. Okay? We know we have a respect for the law. The problem today is folks don't care. I watch these people on TV. I've seen documentaries about these new things that are going on in our world today. And people are robbing stores. I think it's in California. They showed video of a security guy standing there watching a whole group of young people come in with bags in their hands, ripping out medicines and things in the store. And the person that's taking the video asked the security guy, said, why don't you do something? He said, we've been told if they don't take more than $1,000, there's nothing that we can do about it. And I'm thinking, it's still wrong. It's wrong to steal one thing. Listen, how many things would I have to steal to be a thief? Just one. Would it matter if it was a piece of bubble gum or a $100 bill? No. It's still stealing. And it's wrong in the eyes of God. And sin needs to be dealt with. No wonder our world is in a frenzy today because sin is not being dealt with. And I'm going to tell you something. It begins with the top and it works right down. Okay? If sin is wrong and wrong is sin, it ought to make a difference in somebody's life. And listen, even in the political world, brother, you got to stand for right. Stand for what's righteous. Stand for truth. Stand for those things that count. Not for the things that just please somebody today and tomorrow, you can't do anything to please them. Listen, we've got one God to serve, and He's the one that we please today. He's the one. We've got specific behaviors to the government, but then look at this, to our society. Look at verses 2 and 3. He said to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is especially important in the lives of born-again believers, not to speak evil of those leaders, whether it's in the church body or whether it's all these other entities in our world today. Listen, we don't need to speak evil of them. We need to produce righteousness that will provoke them to see and understand you need to be righteous too. You need to be upholding laws, not doing things that are wrong. And listen, if you have aught with your brother or sister in Christ, do you know that you're not supposed to just go around and gossip and backbite them and talk about them all the time? But God has a plan. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, I don't have time to go through it, but mark it down. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, Jesus said, these are Jesus' words. He said, here's how you ought to handle it if you got aught with your brother or your sister in Christ. You go to them personally, one-on-one, and you try to go for one purpose, not to prove yourself to be more spiritual, but to restore the fellowship between the two. That's what it's about, restoration. And listen, we've got to do that. To society, we're to be godly. Then look at it. He gives us incentives. Verses 14 through the rest of the book and into chapter 3. He said, you got to remember what God has done for you. Number one, he died for you on the cross. Jesus looked beyond all the pain and the suffering of the death of the cross. And he looked beyond that to see one thing. And what was that? It was to see you and me with him in heaven one day. I think about what Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied in your mind and faint. Folks, if we will look beyond our present situation and see what God's going to do, it'll help you to understand. Listen, there's a reason for living godly. Christ died for us. What he suffered for us on the cross of Calvary ought to be motivation for us to live for him today. Number two, look at it. Christ's coming again. This is verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb. He's alive today. And if he is alive today as he promised, his promise was that he would come again and take us home to be with him, and there we would be with him forever. That's incentive to live godly. Listen, I would oftentimes surprise my children when I'd give them some things to do. I tell them, I say, now you get the house cleaned up. I'm not sure what time I'll be home, but get the rooms cleaned up. And Stephen, you cut the grass, you know, get it all done. And then if I got home early, Daddy, I didn't think you were coming home this early. I was going to do that. I was just getting ready to do that, Daddy. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I wonder if that's what God's going to say to us when we are taken out of here and we stand before him and say, Lord, I didn't think you were coming back till years from now. I'd have lived for you, Lord, if I had known that. You see, the problem is God doesn't tell us when his son's coming back. That's why we need to be living for him each and every day. We live for him from our hearts. And then lastly, good, strong, godly teaching. Look what he said in verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Not let no man despise thee. Listen, we need to stay strong in the word of God. Stay under the sound of good Bible preaching. Stay under the sound of good doctrine, okay? Not just something that tickles your ears and makes you feel good, but good, sound, biblical doctrine. And that is where godliness truly comes from. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, my goodness, I know it's late, and I didn't mean to go over, but God, thank you for the privilege that we have to learn how to live godly for you. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this lesson now, use it for your honor and glory. Speak to our hearts. Bless Brother Horner as he stands to preach today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in class. God bless you.